You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
Let's go to the movies with actor, acting teacher, and movie maven, Mike Schaefer, on film on Wine Country Live.
Yeah, that's right. Mike Schaefer on film on Wine Country Live. And good morning, sir. Welcome back once again.
Thank you, Barry. I'm high on life. I'm high on caffeine. And I'm high on Disney's new movie, Raya and the Last Dragon.
That was a top-notch opener. You're on your game today.
That's why you pay me the big bucks.
That's right. Martin. All right. So Raya is how you pronounce it.
Raya and the Last Dragon.
Okay.
Yes.
And this is an animated film, and you like it a lot because your inner child was pleased?
It's such a joyful and wonderful and exhilarating experience, and I know we're only... What is this? March the 30th. We're on the cusp of April, spring, and it's my favorite film of 2021.
Wow.
And you know, baby, I watch everything. And
you
lately
do.
I've been watching a lot of DVD screeners getting ready for the SAG Awards that are coming up this weekend as I'm a member and I am voting. But yeah, watched Raya, was quite enchanted by it. It's a magical movie. So we have an official new Disney warrior princess, very much in the spirit of Mulan, but unlike Mulan, this is not a musical. Nobody stops, and breaks into song, although it does have a very wonderful score by the composer James Newton Howard, which resonates. It's a passionate movie. It has a great message at its heart. I don't know if you're familiar with the story or the premise.
Nope.
It's a tad convoluted, so I'll try to unpack this as quickly and as succinctly as I possibly can. But remember, I'm high on caffeine, so I everything I say will come out a lot faster. Maybe not so succinct, but faster. So there had once been a land called Kumandra, okay? Sort of a reimagined magical fantasy land, and this was a civilization where humans and dragons actually lived peacefully and in harmony until one day this terrible plague called the Droon rears its ugly head. The dragons formed a sort of magical orb which was able to repel the Droon, not before the Droon was able to sort of freeze or turn most of civilization into stone, and the dragons as well. The dragons actually sacrificed their own lives in order to save humanity. And then so here we have a situation where 500 years after the events, what had once been a peaceful, harmonious land where everyone was united has now been splintered off into five different countries. The orb had been, for the last several hundred years, under the protection of one of these lands, and the king and his daughter Raya have invited the other four countries to come to sort of forge a peace treaty, so offering an olive branch, if you will. But there, unfortunately, is an attempt to steal this magical orb. There is a struggle, and in the ensuing struggle, the orb is broken into pieces. Some of those pieces are spirited away, and the Droon returns 5 or 6 years later. Raya, who has survived this new plague, she's on a quest now to find the last dragon, somehow reincarnate the dragon, and then with the dragon's help, go to each country, find a piece of the orb, put it all together, repel the Droon, and then return civilization to its normal existence, and hopefully reunite everybody in the spirit of which they once coexisted peacefully. Woo! I'm exhausted.
I think I'm ready for bed now, Daddy. It's a good story.
It must be my dulcet tones.
That was intriguing. I was thinking how similar, you know, so many stories of fantasy have the same elements, you know, dragons,
yeah,
and orbs, and, you know, there's just a limited array of, I don't know, things that always fit into those stories. Why is it so good? Because you're really liking it.
Various tropes, and you mentioned dragons. This is not How to Train Your Dragon. I'm not hating on that particular film. This is a family movie. It's on, I think I'd mention, it's on Disney Plus at the premium price. I would recommend it, actually, if you were on the fence about it, and particularly we do have theaters reopening, but you folks who still haven't had, I've had my first shot, you know, not fully vaccinated. And so you may be, you know, you may be thinking, you know, I'm not quite ready to go to the theater yet. Although I can imagine, Barry, one of the things about the film, which is why it stands out, why it's so good. One thing in particular is the animation. They have come so far, particularly in there are certain aspects I want to talk about. First of all, how they present lighting effects, how they present water imagery is so well done. It's actually quite stunning. And there is combat that happens, martial arts combat, which from what I could see, they were utilizing several martial arts techniques. Very well done. The camera always seems to know exactly where your eye would go, so you're able to follow the choreography. I was thinking, wow, this is a nod to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or a nod to Star Wars, or the films of John Ford, or Lawrence of Arabia, the desert landscapes, and how each specific country, you know, I'd mentioned that they had splintered off into five different factions. There is an aesthetic behind how each country is presented, and also the underlying message of trust, basically. Raya has to trust Sisu, who is also, I want to talk about, just kind of going off on a tangent here, the voice talent in the movie is very impressive. We have Kelly Marie Tran, who I think does a really terrific job in voicing the lead character of Raya. You know, she's everything a Disney warrior princess should be. She's brave. She's courageous. And then you have Awkwafina, who provides certainly the comedy relief, if you will. So she's the dragon of the piece. Maybe not quite what you would expect from a dragon. She's both goofy but when she has to sort of be more dramatic, when the situation calls for her, there's a I would call it almost a bittersweet quality. She misses her dragon brethren very much. So she does provide a lot of humor and heart. So it's also Sandra Oh, Benedict Cast, Benedict Wong, I'm sorry, who also is in the cast. So great Asian American representation happening in the film. And so just from the point of animation, stunning. The martial arts scenes, action scenes are very well choreographed, and the voice talent is great.
All right, there you have it. Disney Plus for the upcoming Easter weekend or something, maybe, for folks. I don't know.
I would think as a family, you would sit down, and once again, I think because there is a sort of very subtle, but it is there, underlying political. You know, you could definitely look at it as an analogy or a metaphor to our current times, you know, and it's interesting how a plague is introduced into the narrative, mm-hmm. which drives the character to sort of, you know, solve it, to fix it. But she has to learn how to trust. And that's a big, big part of it, just getting communities to talk to each other and to trust each other and to work together to defeat. Truly working together to defeat a horrible and sinister in the movie. Of course, it's depicted as a kind of a purplish sort of smoke called the Droon. Mm-hmm. But you could see it as, you know, our current predicament.
Sure.
So I thought, well, that was very, very well done. So
all right.
Really good for families.
Raya and the Last Dragon gets the Mike Schaefer seal of approval. You mentioned in passing there, the theaters are reopening, and it's in the news today. In fact, in St. Helena, the lovely Cameo Cinema is setting their reopening for Friday. It's one of the one of the last remaining independent single screen theaters in the country.
Oh, nice!
Yeah,
great.
Have you been to the Cameo?
I have not.
Okay.
Do you happen to know what they will be showing? Is it a one-screen auditorium?
It is a one-screen auditorium, and they are opening with Nomadland and Tom and Jerry. Those are not.
Oh.
That's not one title. That's two different titles.
That's a strange double bill, but
isn't it?
Okay.
But it's serving everybody, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, someday when we're all fully vaccinated, let's go there, and I'll show you around a downtown St. Helena.
Right. Where do you stand on the on returning to movie theaters, just personally?
I'm ready for it, very much ready for it. You know, I mean, how much longer can we go? They're using good protocols, distancing and sanitizing, and you know, keeping us safe. You know, if I'm willing to go sit in a restaurant and have a meal,
exactly.
So why would I not sit in a theater?
Right.
You know, yes, you may not have exactly the same ventilation opportunities, but, you know, I'm like a lot of people. I'm exhausted by all of this, and I'm looking forward to getting back to normal. And,
yes.
You know,
agreed.
Sometime we just have to. So let's talk some more. You wanted to cover some more on animated films today, I believe.
I really did. And I wanted to ask you, do you remember the very first animated movie? And maybe this is a two-pronged question. The first animated movie that you saw could have also been the first animated movie that really resonated with you, you just fell in love with.
Probably was Bambi for me.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember back in the day, Disney had all their films on a 7-year release cycle. Remember
that's
that? Right.
Right. Yeah. And then they'd say, it's going back in the vault.
Right. And that made them so precious. And you couldn't watch a film like that anytime you wanted. You had to wait for it to come back out again. And
yeah.
So it'd catch you once when you were in grade school. And then maybe the second time you'd see it, you'd be in middle school or even high school.
Yeah.
And so really different from today's world. But yeah, all those early Disney films made a great impression on me as a child. My absolute favorite has always been Lady and the Tramp for some reason.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I don't know why, but I just love, maybe it was, you know, the dogs were so cute.
Yeah.
but then later, you know, at a later time in the 70s, I was thinking about Ralph Bakshi. You remember Ralph Bakshi?
Wizards.
Wizards.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Wizards comes to mind.
Yeah.
I really like that. And he did some naughty animated
Fritz
films.
The Cat was one of his films, which
Heavy
was notorious.
And, and the title of a movie I don't want to say on the air, but you can Google that.
And then later on, he made Lord of the Rings, which, you know, is almost forgotten with the modern interpretations of that. But
yeah.
No one had made any kind of a movie of Lord of the Rings at that point. I think his was the first.
It was the first. Yeah. I haven't seen it in forever.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was his studio was the first to attempt to do. I don't think they did all three books, and I'm not entirely sure if they also did The Hobbit, but they did do Lord of the Rings, and I haven't seen it in forever, so I can't really comment on it.
It was, I mean, anybody who's a fan of the story of Lord of the Rings should watch it just so they know, but do make sure you have cleaned your bong and you're ready, well-prepared, because it will make a big, especially Wizards. Wizards is an absolute stoner movie.
Yeah, yeah. I remember seeing Wizards in the theater, actually, and the impact it left on me. And I think I have the DVD around here somewhere. Do you have a top five, like your five desert island animated films?
Boy, that's tough. I mean, the first Toy Story was a great film to me.
Yeah.
I think...
And some people actually prefer Toy Story 2, like
right.
They prefer Godfather 2 over Godfather 1.
I mean, they're both really, really good, solid films, just super enjoyable. I remember probably Fantasia made probably the biggest impact on me as a young adult.
Yeah.
I saw it when I was in college, and it was a whole, you know, much more... you know, interested in all the different things that were happening there, and the fact that it was such a groundbreaker.
Sure.
I was really into old movies when I was in that age range. And
yeah.
So, yeah, it stands up today just exactly like it did at that moment. you know, for
what
it
is. Are you familiar with any of the Japanese Studio Ghibli movies, like Grave of the Fireflies or Spirited Away?
No, those never crossed my windshield, okay, as it were.
Okay. They're all really terrific, very poignant, sad sometimes, but just really good stories, very inventive imagination. You know, if I had to pick five, which would be hard to do, you know, my desert island, my Gilligan's Island story, and if I could only take five, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which is not entirely animated, but animation does help serve to drive the story forward. Love that movie. Love Mary Poppins. Also one of the first Disney movies I ever saw, which made an enormous impact. You mentioned Bambi. Love Bambi. In fact, if I ever met some poor unfortunate soul who's never seen an animated movie, I would probably start with Bambi first.
Good place.
And hopefully, you know, they're not too shattered by the events of the first 10 minutes. But love a lot of the Japanese stuff, as I mentioned, and the Ralph Bakshi. Thank you for mentioning that. And Wizards, I have to go back and look at that. So many, actually. And, you know, Toy Story 2, Up just killed me.
Yeah, there's a good pick from more recent films, Up.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else?
You know, the truth is, almost all of them today are so compelling because of the animation itself. I was thinking about The Incredibles, right?
Wonderful movie. Yeah. Great. And the sequel was good, too.
Right. You know, it's good fun. All of the Despicable Me movies and the Minions, you know, super good fun. They don't sort of have the same place on the shelf as Toy Story does, maybe because they have come along later and we're so used to seeing, you know, tons of great animation now.
Yeah.
But it's just sort of never-endingly enjoyable visually, and the way people can control the pace and the you know, the focus and the jokes and animation. I find myself, you know, when we're doing live theater, trying to sort of approximate those moments sometimes, especially in comedies. You know, like I'm visualizing how, you know, the animated character would look and trying to recreate that, because we've all, you know, kind of been attuned to it, I think, over the years.
Sure.
Anyway.
And some of these films, as I mentioned with Raya and the Last Dragon, are also somehow anticipating wherever we are in terms of our political, where we are politically, where we are in terms of just talking about the plague that is essentially the villain, per se, in Raya and the Last Dragon. And so, of course, you can draw a parallel to COVID-19. And, you know, when this movie was in production, could not have anticipated yet how interesting that so many movies of 2020 and 2021 are doing that unconsciously. I found that very interesting. And a lot of the animated films that I think resonated strongly, as opposed to other movies, like you mentioned Despicable Me, which is a family movie. It's a comedy. But a movie like a Toy Story or a Toy Story 2 are also written by adults for adults, like the great Warner Brothers cartoons were clearly written by jokesters, you know, middle-aged guys who were just trying to crack each other up, you know, and that's why they hold up so well even today, by today's standards.
Outstanding. I think I overlooked one that I should have mentioned in that category, Shrek.
Oh, Shrek is great.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know? and definitely served by the Mike Myers, the Eddie Murphy, the vocal talent. You know, you can never vocal like casting is, you know, every director knows casting is pretty much 90% of the work. If you assemble a really great cast, you know, who kind of show up and know what they're doing and they're prepared, you can kind of step back as a director and just have fun. You can focus on other things. So voice casting is very important. That's certainly one of the, you asked earlier, you know, why does Raya stand out? Is the strength of the vocal casting, the voice casting in the movie.
Very good. Raya and the Last Dragon and animated films with Mike Schaefer on film in this week's edition. You know, what we haven't talked about yet, we should touch on sometime before the Oscars come out, is the Razzies.
You know what's interesting to me about the Razzies? Glenn Close, okay, you know where I'm going with this, right?
Yep.
Nominated for an Oscar and a rabbit.
Right, for the same part.
For the same part.
Yeah, figure that out.
And she's actually the odds-on favorite. The SAG Awards are this weekend. I know we're about to run out of time, but she's actually nominated for a SAG Award, Best Supporting Actress. She's actually the odds-on favorite to win.
Wow, I don't get that. But anyway, talk for another time, it sounds like. All right.
Looking forward to it, my friend.
Very good.
Always.
Thank you so much.
Have a great morning, Barry.
You too. Bye-bye. Mike Schaefer on film.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin.
On KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.